since ancient times. You read Genesis, you find when Adam and Eve sinned, they were cursed. A curse was spoken against them. So today I want us to talk about curses, and I want us to understand curses from the point of deliverance. So the definition I have for curses is declarations of harm or punishment directed towards someone or something. And when I say something, it might even be declaration of harm or punishment directed towards maybe a family, maybe a nation, maybe a city. It's declaration. So the key word when it comes to curses is the words that have been spoken. But those words or declarations that have been spoken, the intention of those declaration is to cause harm or to cause punishment. So that is the definition I have for curses. And I want to go step by step and discuss types of curses. You have heard several times people talk about generational curses. And these are curses that are passed down through family lines. And if you read the word of God from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, this is where, when we talk about generational curses, this is the foundation of or the backing of when we say and address about the generational curses. This is the backing scripture for generational curses. In Exodus 34, verse 5 to 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." So verse 7 says, "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilt, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, and to the third and to the fourth generation." So this is a declaration that the Lord declared when he was speaking to the children of Israel through Moses. And he said, he is a God who is compassionate. He's full of mercy. But then he is also one who visits iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children. So when we talk about this type of curse, the generational curse, we are talking about something that is passed down. For the iniquity of the father, then the children suffer harm or punishment, and not only just the immediate children, but even to the third and to the fourth generation. I know we are in the era of grace, and Jesus Christ came and became a curse for us, but it is also very important for us to understand that the devil is a legalistic. If there is, and that's why I said the importance of repentance in deliverance, if there is iniquity, then the enemy can stand and say someone can also experience a curse that was released upon the father and to the children because of that legality of iniquity. So key word here, when we talk about generation curses, is the legal ground of iniquity. Then there's what I call self-inflicted curses. These are declarations not made by anyone else, but you just self-inflicted the curses upon yourself. And this is a result of your own, from your own actions or words. So the way you declare things over your life, you can declare either a blessing or you can declare a curse. These self-inflicted curses. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, the Bible says, and I know this is a verse that we all know, but it carries a lot of weight when it comes to blessing or cursing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So there are some curses. We find ourselves undergoing harm, undergoing affliction, because we inflicted on ourselves through the spoken words or through our own actions. And then there are what we call curses from other people. And curses from others are pronounced by individuals or groups against us. There are people who can just decide to pronounce, as again I said, a curse is a declaration of harm or punishment directed towards you. So there are curses that are from other people, pronounced by individuals or group against us. In Psalms 109 verse 17, the Bible says, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. So one of the things we need to understand about a culture of cursing others or pronouncing curses on others, the words we speak are seeds. So the curse that you're pronouncing on others, the Bible says, as you have loved cursing, that curse it shall be upon you. As you have delighted not in blessing, so let blessing be far from him. So one of the things that we need to know when it comes to curses from others, there are people who have a tendency of pronouncing curses or just, you know, declarations of causing harm upon other people. What they don't understand is that whatever they are proclaiming on others, it becomes their portion. So it is very, very important, especially in the days that we are living in, to be very careful about the curses that are self-inflicted and curses that are from other people. So we are going to discuss more and more on this each and every level of curses or types of curses. But I want to highlight the importance of repentance and confession. So for example, you may reflect on your life and you realize, oh, I say, like for example, no matter how much I go to the gym, I can't lose weight. It might sound like just a simple declaration, but then it has a negative impact, and you continue working hard to try to lose weight, but at the same time, you have already cast or spoken words against what you want to pursue. That's just an example I am giving. But there are so many areas in our lives that because of not being careful of the words and the declarations we declare upon ourselves, the enemy takes that as a legal ground. And then we are oppressed and we are limited, and so many other things that happen as a result of self-inflicted curses. So when you look at your life and you realize, oh, I need deliverance, my tongue should speak life. My tongue should speak a blessing. I need deliverance. One of the things that we want to highlight is that repentance and confession is very, very important. It is important to acknowledge any involvement in sinful behavior or words that may have invited curses. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, the Bible says, 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. So anytime, one of the things that I advocate for us in our walk as believers, anytime you realize, now this one is a miss, this is a sin, this is disobedience, this is, I have fallen short. One of the things that is very important for us to develop a lifestyle of is a lifestyle of acknowledging any involvement in any sinful behavior or words and repenting and confessing. So the moment you do that, we have assurance that the Father is faithful and just to forgive. There's also another verse that say, in the book of Psalms that says, he who covers his sin does not prosper. So acknowledging that, no, I need deliverance on my tongue. For example, look at the story of Isaiah. Isaiah encountered the holiness of God and he had this realization, I am a man of unclean lips. And he cried unto the Lord, woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And what do we see from that encounter? Isaiah's lips were cleansed. So anytime you notice something, and I know this is a topic that will make us do a lot of reflection, how we talk, what we say. Anytime you notice you have fallen short, it is important for us not to give the enemy a chance at all. I have read 1 John 1:9. The verse I have read right now is 1 John 1:9. And the other verse, whoever covers his sin will not prosper, is Proverbs 28:13. Whoever covers his sin will not prosper. And the enemy is usually banking on believers not repenting and acknowledging that, oh, I need to repent, I need to acknowledge and just take care of this. The enemy is banking on us covering up and normalizing, assuming that it is okay, even the way you talk, especially in this era. How many times have we said something, and even when the Holy Spirit is, you know, sensitizing you that that is not something you should have said, there is that comfort that comes from even so and so. This is, it is the modern time. It is the way people talk. So one of the things that the enemy banks on is for us to live in ignorance and not repent. Because any unrepented sin is an open doorway for the curse to operate or to manifest. So repentance and confession. The other thing that I want to highlight when it comes to deliverance in matters of curses is forgiveness. Extending forgiveness to those who have cursed us. Extending forgiveness to those who have cursed us. In the book of Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. Matthew 6, verse 14 to 16. Remember, we say there are curses that are from other people. It is important for us to extend forgiveness to those who have cursed us. Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15, the Bible says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So let's talk of a scenario where you know that a certain person has cursed you, and you know he has cursed you, or she has cursed you, or a group of people have gathered and you know they have cursed you, and you know about it. So one of the things that happen, humanly speaking, you get angry, you get bitter, and it is, you feel like it's a right to hold on to that because they have wronged you. And you may even try to analyze, what did I ever do to them? Why should they do that? And you hold on to that. But now, in this case, what the enemy is banking on is for you not to forgive. Because if you do not forgive, there is a condition for your forgiveness. We talked about repentance. We are repenting, we are confessing because we want to be forgiven. And then here comes an area where you are dealing with curses that have been spoken by other people. And that is to, you know, pierce our heart, and you feel like you have a right to be bitter, you have a right to be angry, you have a right to feel all those things that you're feeling. But that is the trap of the enemy. Because if you fail to practice forgiveness, forgiving them that have wronged you, forgiving them that have trespassed against you, forgiving them that are even cursing you, forgiving them that hate you for no reason, then the more you carry unforgiveness within your heart, then you are opening a big door for whatever curse they spoke on your life to start manifesting. So practice forgiveness. Practice forgiveness. The other thing that is very, very important, number three, when dealing with all these levels of curses, is to renounce. Remember, it's all about declaration. It's the words of the mouth, yeah? Renunciation, verbally renounce any ties to curses and declare freedom in Christ. Sometimes you may look at your life and you're like, I don't even know whether I have, there are people who curse me, or there are curses that were there in my family. There are things the enemy, you know, is holding on in my family. But the most important thing is to renounce every curse, every tie. And we can read Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So this is a declaration that we have been redeemed from the curse of law. Every manner of curse, when you are dealing with curses, it is important for you to stand on this word of God and this act that Jesus did. He became a curse himself. Not just the curses, he became it. He became the curse so that we may be free. So renunciation of every curse, verbally declaring freedom in Christ is very, very important. The other part that we always want to talk about when it comes to breaking curses is prayer and intercession. Seek God's intervention and protection through prayer. So you cannot minimize the power of prayer in this. And we read about the fervent prayer, earnest prayer in James chapter 5 and verse 16. So let's talk about steps to break curses. And if I'm going so fast, just let me know, I slow down. Steps to breaking curses. Number one is to identify curses. You want to recognize any pattern of negativity, failure, or oppression in your life. And that's all that is included in what many of you have said and written. When you hear curses, what comes to mind? So it is identifying any patterns of negativity, patterns of failure, patterns of oppression in your life. Again, I go back to what we said as we concluded last week. Seek God's guidance. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to help you discern and identify any patterns. Pray also for discernment. You don't want to see everything and see curses. You don't want to be paranoid. So ask for discernment from the Lord so that you are able to know, am I dealing with is this a curse, a pattern of a curse, or is this because of maybe you forgot to set up the alarm and you woke up late, and then your day spills over to lateness. You cannot say at the end of the day, I think I am cursed. So discerning and looking through and understanding as the Holy Spirit is teaching you to see patterns. See patterns. And then again, once you discern and once you understand and recognize, again, confession, repentance, renunciation, standing in place and declaring that you're delivered from the curse of law. So let me touch again on generational curses, and I'm gonna give a few examples in the Bible. So I said the first example of a generational curse is what humanity got in Genesis 3 verse 14 to 19 about Adam and Eve after the fall. And even one of the curses that was declared on Adam is he's not the one who was cursed, but the ground was cursed. And the Bible says cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. And in this curse, you find that there are people who still are, it's like the land is not productive because there is that legal ground of saying, oh, you have to really toil, you have to, yeah, it has to be a painful process before you can enjoy any fruit. And we know about what the curse that was spoken to Eve and all that. So that is an example of a generational curse. Another example is the curse of Noah on his son Ham, who is the father of the Canaanites. So the story goes, Noah became drunk and he slept naked. Ham came and saw him, and instead of covering his father's nakedness, he went out and told the brothers. The brothers came from backwards and they covered their father's nakedness. The Bible says that when Anor came out of his drunkenness, he cursed Ham, who is the father of the Canaanites. We will touch more on that next Monday, because I feel like I'm rushing through, but we'll touch more on that. Let me give an example of self-inflicted curse, and this example is of Rachel in Genesis chapter 30 verse 1. He said, Genesis 30, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became so jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I die. Give me children or I die. So this is a spoken word that Rachel just spoke, and it worked against her, because we find that Rachel ended up dying in the process of childbirth. And this is just a proclamation, a self-inflicted curse. We will get deeper into that too. So an example of curses from others. I have the example of Joshua. Joshua, when they finished destroying the land of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, I don't know for some reason why Joshua felt like it was a lot, and he decided that anyone who tries to set up again the walls of Jericho or anything to do with Jericho, they will do it at the expense of their firstborn when they are setting the foundation. And when they put up the gates, they will do it at the expense of their last born, literally meaning they will die. And this happened in the book of, I didn't print my notes, so the phone keeps shutting. Okay, so in Joshua 6 verse 26, that is where he's saying, cast before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. So this curse is fulfilled in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 16 and verse 34. The Bible says that during the reign of King Ahab of Israel, when Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho, when he laid the foundation, he lost his first son, Abilam. And when he was doing the gates, he lost his youngest son, Segeb. So this is a curse that was pronounced by somebody. And we find that years later, over 1,000 years later, it manifests. I wanted to talk about one more example of a curse. Oh, before I say another, I can talk about another example next week, but let me talk about a curse without cause. A curse without cause. So sometimes you may feel like there's no reason. There's no reason for anyone to curse you. And it doesn't mean that people will not curse or others will not curse. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 26 verse 2, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. An undeserved curse does not come to rest. So this verse in Proverbs, it talks about, uses the image of a bird. You know, the way a bird flutters around without finding a place to rest. So a curse that is undeserved, it does not fulfill its ultimate or intended harm. And again, I say, how do you make sure that those curses out there will not land like the bird? It is by making sure that repentance, confession, we are staying clean. Let me call it that. Staying clean, making sure that we are not giving the devil any legal ground. Because yes, the curses that will be spoken and deserved. And I like it in my mother tongue. It says, like a curse that has no reason. It cannot manifest. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we are not giving the enemy a chance or a loophole for whatever curse has been spoken to find its place. So, I know when we talk about curses, it feels like, are we still saved? And do we still believe in curses? And how about that? But one of the things that I want us to know is that the Bible says we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And one of the things that makes people fall into oppression, curses seem to be patterns that seems like curses seem to be manifesting in their lives. One of the things is ignorance. If we live in ignorance, then the enemy takes advantage because you do not know. So in this modern time and in the New Testament, what do we do and where do we stand when it comes to matters of curses? Number one, we need to understand and let it be registered in our hearts that we have freedom in Christ. Again, I read Galatians 3:13. We have freedom in Christ. He became a curse so that we may be free. So understanding that, you will not allow yourself to fall into bondage or to allow the curses to be manifested, because we are free. The enemy will try to bring this, to bring that, to bring that. But when he comes and he meets somebody who understands, I have freedom in Christ. This is not my portion. And that's where now we have to be aggressive. The Bible says the kingdom of God since the days of John the Baptist, it suffereth violence, and the violent shall take it by force. Because it's not that the enemy will not try. He will try. But your knowledge of the freedom that you have achieved in Christ will make sure that you stand firm, and no curse will be able to stand.